green light when she's in a regular room and able to receive visitors, okay? So they just ask us, and so appreciate your prayers. And pray for Marvin, too. I mean, he's just living in the hospital room with her and has a lot going on because many of you know that Irene's mom lives with them. And so there's a lot to take care of and a lot to do. And just pray for grace and mercy and shalom to be over them and their family. Amen. But we're gaining the victory in Jesus. Now, Jesus has already gained the victory, and we're just appropriating it. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Lord, we're just appropriating the victory of Christ for on behalf of all of our loved ones, and to really clear through and make it into breakthrough in all these areas of sickness and disease. I had a fabulous trip. In fact, I never had any issue with congestion or cough the whole time I was gone. Until right before I got back. And I don't know if it was all the dramatic weather changes. And I was in climates from 85 degrees in Florida and humid to cold and dry and wet. And then it got wet in Memphis. And then I came across Texas and Angel and I are driving in snow. And it's just crazy. And get back here. And as you know, the weather, our winter here has been up and down. And so I think my sinuses are freaking right now. But God's good. Hallelujah. I say God is good, and we're going to get through this in the name of the Lord, and I am going to actually bring a word to you in just a moment, I promise, in Jesus' name, without coughing. Hallelujah. But anyway, we'll keep you updated on everything that's going on, and just as you think of people, the people that aren't here today, just both of our Marlenes are out with chills and flu, and Marlene Jaya and Marlene Carroll, and again, if I start naming names, I can't name everybody. It's a lot of people that are really fighting and battling, but we have the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Use a lot of wisdom. I mean, if you have a fever, you don't need to be around people. That's when you're the most contagious. Amen. I don't want to give any ground to the devil. Amen. I mean, we believe in healing, we believe in protection, but we also believe in wisdom. What did Jesus say to the enemy? The enemy tried to get him by quoting a scripture to jump down off of the pinnacle of the temple. Remember that? And Jesus said, "Thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to a test." So let's use a lot of wisdom and care and get the rest you need, and don't go kiss anybody on the lips during this flu season. Hallelujah. God's good. Anyway, Melody, are you doing the... Oh, hallelujah. Come on up, hon. If you need an envelope for your giving this morning, if you'll wave at us, we'll get that to you for cash giving, and get your offering ready. We'll receive that in just a moment. And Melody's going to go over some things for us regarding today, I guess. What's going on with the all of our Navajo friends are over there preparing and getting the food ready. And thank God people are already lining up. Glory be to God. And just pray, you know, it's great that it's going to be a lot of fundraising for the missions outreaches that are coming up. But it's also great because it just gives a chance to love on people and let people know that there's Navajo believers in the valley. Amen. That love the Lord. So hallelujah. I'll let you take that.
Good morning. Yeah, so there is the Navajo fundraiser, and it's down there in Suite 127B, which is just right across the parking lot. And it does say that you can pay cash, check, debit, or credit. So if you didn't come prepared, there's all sorts of ways for you to pay. But know that all the proceeds are going out toward for the summer missions and outreaches in the Navajo Nation. So just be sure to participate. If you don't want to eat, then just make a donation, and that would be great. As far as this week, it looks like on Wednesday, February 19th, is a volunteer day, which typically is the norm from 10 to 2 right here in the church facility. And then there looks like we're going to be preparing some children's ministry materials for out on the reservation. So if you want to come and help Susan do that, that would be awesome. Then Friday, February 12th at 7. Well, I'm sorry, it's probably shouldn't be the 12th. It should be, what is Friday? I don't know. It's a little bit later than that. But anyway, this Friday, it looks like it's the 7 o'clock is Harp and Bowl. I'm pretty sure that's what that meant. So just be here at 7. That's what it looks like. It's at here at this facility. And then, too, always know you can pick up a bulletin in the back. There's the scheduled prayer. Oh, it's the 21st. I'm sorry. February 21st is right here. So know that that's available to you anytime that you walk out. And then too, I just thought I'd share just a little something this morning because I know we need to move on. You know, we're packing up and moving, which I know a lot of you don't want to hear about. It is bittersweet for us as well, but it's like, you know, you never realize how much quote stuff you have until you start packing stuff in boxes. And then you think, okay, I'm making headway. And then you're like, no, I'm not. I still got a lot of stuff. But you know what's sweet about it is God's just kind of teaching us through it all. And I know in my heart, it's like I'm saying goodbye to my little house, you know, a little bit at a time. But it's like when I'm packing up all the stuff, I'm thinking to myself, and the walls are starting to get bare, and it just seems more of a reality. It's like I realize what's really important to me, and it's not my stuff. It's like, you know, when I went through like all the photographs and boxed everything up and organized, it's like it's the little pictures my grandchildren have drawn for me. It's like little notes I found from my teenage girls from years ago saying, "Mom, I'm sorry." You know, things like that that I treasure. And those are the things that, you know, I will remember and things that are important to me. But the stuff, not so much. You know, and then I think the one place in my home right now that I'm really struggling to dismantle is my little patio. Because that's where we spend a lot of time together and just enjoy, you know, just enjoy being together. We've had a lot of parties out there and a lot of fun. And then my back deck, I'll enjoy sitting out there watching my grandchildren play and watch this, Mimi, you know, and splash in the pool and run around. So those are the places that mean most to me, you know, as far as my home. Mom said all that to say that we are blessed and we're at peace. And I'm just so grateful that my heart is not attached to this world and not attached to things. Because I know a lot of people are, and they don't have the peace of Christ. And God has always blessed us. You can never be overly generous in the kingdom of God. Because, I mean, God blesses you. He takes care of you. And I think that's the whole point, is I know that God has taken care of us and blessed us so much. And we're so grateful and so thankful. And we have peace because it's a major ordeal to move across the country, as a lot of us know. We've done it before. It's a lot different than just moving across town. A lot of logistics. But in all of that, there's peace. You know, if you have Jesus and you trust him, and we know that he's preparing the way for us and preparing a place for us to be used by him as well. And so we're just at peace. But, you know, those are things that God blesses us with when we, you know, endeavor to bless and participate in his kingdom. So with that being said, let's pray over our offering. Father God, we just thank you today for just the blessing and privilege of being in your house. Father God, I pray you would bless everyone in this house, every family represented. Father God, those who are here, those who are not, Lord, who give generously into this house and into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. The non-coughing Rick is back. I'm coming up here because I think I watched not that I watch myself every week, but I was looking at the video, and the whole time I was preaching, I was down there, and it was just showing the stand, and every once in a while I saw the back of my head because of the way the camera, is it better for me to stay up here for the sermon? Okay. Some people think it's better not to see me, but that's another, obviously you guys, you don't feel that way, right? Isn't that right, John? Appreciate all your prayers. We had an awesome trip, and Angel and I drove from here to Memphis. I got to see my dad. Some of you know, been praying about that, and that went really well. And then we drove to Alabama and ministered in Pastor Joshua's father's church, his father who died. Then we went to Florida with Susan's dad. We saw our church accountant. We saw with Lou and Cynthia. Some of you remember them. And some other partners and friends, and we ministered in the village down there where Bill lives, Susan's dad, and that went really well. Made some new friends and new connections, and ministered the word there. Then we made our way back to Mississippi, and then back, and we ministered in Jackson, Tennessee, our last Sunday with Pastor Jeremy and Haley, and then we started driving home through weird weather on Monday and Tuesday. But we're back. We made it. Hallelujah. We came through El Paso, and it was like 50-something, right, on the thermometer. I said, hey, we're in the clear. And then we got into the mountains of southern New Mexico, and I wasn't paying attention to the thermometer. And next thing I know, these big goose feather flakes were falling. I mean, I'm like, well, what in the world? I looked over at the car, and it said 34. I said, oh, boy. You know, we were flirting with freezing, and then it just kept falling and kept falling. And Angel goes, this is so beautiful. And I'm thinking, no, I'm in a non-front-wheel drive big truck. And I said, with no traction in the back, I said, this is not beautiful. And then the road went white. And then like five, I talked to Susan and I shouldn't have talked to her, but in all honesty, I didn't want to worry her. But anyway, the next thing I know, it switched back to rain. And the rest of the way, it was just good old rain. So this is crazy, just crazy times. But God is good. I've learned when you drive through the Southwest, you just never know what you're going to drive through. And you can go from rain to snow and sleet in just a matter of moments. All about altitude. How many of you figured that out? It's all about altitude. And that's what makes the difference. But anyway, we came back in Tuesday night, and I tried to rest on Wednesday. And then Susan and I drove up to White River, to Canyon Day, on some of you may not even know this church, because you know we always go to their camp meeting. Some of you to go up there, but it's Pastor Mary Ellis Church. And she had a marriage couples seminar week of, and we did one of the nights there, and it was really good. We had a lot of sweet ministry to some couples there. There was one couple there that had been together for years and had kids and everything, and they had come to the Lord, and they were getting married on Valentine's Day and making covenant with God, and they were there, and we were able to pray over them, and just some cool things like that. And then we got back into our car at about 9:20 and drove back to Chandler because I wanted to sleep in my bed. I've been gone enough. And we drove all the way back, rolled into my driveway at 12:20, exactly 3 hours from White River, and I didn't drive that fast while Susan was awake. And we went in the car, and anyway, so things are good. So we had a great trip, and I'd already made that commitment and wanted to do it, and we're so glad we did it because it was really powerful. And the reason I share all that with you, the Lord actually started to show me some things that don't merely relate to marriage that are in that chapter, though, that relate to all of us in the body of Christ. And so I want to share some things with you. I may be kind of developing this a little bit over the next few weeks, but we all know this verse in Galatians. It is no longer I who live, right? Because I'm crucified with Christ, right? It's no longer I who live, but Christ what lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's an amazing verse. We live by the faith of the Son of God. Does that encourage you? Because a lot of times we worry about my faith and what I can do, but it's the faith of the Son of God. And we live by the faith of the Son of God. And the point that kept coming out to me lately about that, if Christ lives in me now, then he lives in me always. Right? And so if he's living through me now, then he wants to live through me. Here's the thing I think where we get into trouble. We start to compartmentalize what it means Christ in me. We compartmentalize it to Sunday morning, a prayer meeting, a specific what we call ministry time. But yet, is Christ not living with us at all times? He doesn't come and go. Amen? Hello? He doesn't come and go. He lives with us always, and he's in us always. So it would tell me this, that if Christ is living in and through me, then my life, if I'm really crucified with Christ and the old is gone, then my life is for the purposes of God. Even when I go to work, even in my marriage and family, even in everything that I do, it's about his purposes ultimately, right? And so that's the part that I kept saying. I said, Lord, how do we make this happen? How do we live a life where we're always your witness, where we're always ready to demonstrate your kingdom at every turn, and where we're always salt and light among the people we're around? How many of you know that's not always easy to do, because sometimes we're not in an environment that would cause us to want to express ourselves that way. And so sometimes we struggle a little bit with what it takes to release that in our lives. But here's the thing. We have been bought with a price. And the Bible says, therefore, glorify God in your body. We were bought with a price. And you weren't bought merely to take you to heaven. You literally, while you're still on this earth, to glorify God in your body that's corruptible and to live for God's glory. Amen? And so when we start to understand that, we understand that everything we do, we're to do for the glory of God. How many of you believe Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the plans I have for you. Amen? To give you a future, to give you a hope, to give you a purpose, to give you a destiny. And I love the verse where Jeremiah, and just a few chapters later, where Jeremiah was confined in the court of the guard, and he got the word of the Lord. In a place of confinement, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and said, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things you know not of. I think a lot of times we think we need to get completely free, completely everything, all our ducks in a row, so to speak, before God can speak. But actually, God would say, even in a place where you feel confined, surrounded, in trouble, even in a day of trouble, call upon the Lord, and he will speak to you. When he shows you great and mighty things, he's showing you the things that he intends to do through you by the faith of the Son of God. There's the things that God wants to do in your life and the things that he wants to show us. And a lot of times, how many of you found out, a lot of times God will speak to you in a time of struggle. God's been speaking to me because I've really been struggling with this whole situation about how long it's taken me to get the victory over this junk in my head. And I'm talking about cold and congestion and coughing. And the Lord has been speaking to me. I'm not at liberty to share you what he shared with me right now, but I will, but because I feel like it's a personal thing. But there's times when God will speak to you. And I think a lot of times we think, well, when I get better and I'm feeling better, I'll start calling on seeking God. Anybody with me? You kind of, we tend to do that. We kind of kick the can down the road until we get our act together. Well, then I didn't need God to intervene if I was going to just take care of myself and get myself in a better place. But the better place God wants to get us in, he wants to bring a revelation to our lives, even when we're in the middle of what the Bible calls the day of trouble. Amen? The attack of the enemy or whatever it may be. God wants to speak, and he wants to speak clearly, even in those times. Here's the thing. You and I cannot live our lives for the glory of God except for the fact that he's extended a covenant to us. How many are glad for the covenant? The covenant of the Word of God. And that covenant, that covenant is true because God is faithful. Secondly, it's true because it's been ratified by the blood of Jesus. All covenants are no good without blood. And the blood of Jesus causes that word to us to be yes. And we're to give our amen and come into agreement with that covenant. But what I want to share with you today for just a few minutes is about doing this life and how it really affects every part of our lives and how God gives us a grace and a glory. Everybody say grace and glory. He gives us a grace and a glory to live this life. Now, I want to take you to a passage that is fairly familiar to some of you. And again, I was just teaching out of this the other night in the marriage thing, and I began to realize how much this applies to every area of life. So I'm going to read quite a bit here at the beginning, but I want us to get the context for these verses, and then I want to share some things with you this morning. Go with me, if you have your Bibles, to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to begin with verse number 1. Ephesians 5, verse number 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Say, I'm a child of God. So if you're a child of God, you can imitate him. Hello? Yeah. You can walk in his steps and walk in love. Notice that. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and no silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks.
I really apologize.
Thank you, Lord. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now, how many know it's kind of getting a little negative here, right? Hello? You're kind of like, now we're all getting a little shaky here. We're like we're walking on eggshells. But look what he says. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were, what's the next word? Formerly. Everybody say that. Formerly darkness. But now, everybody say now, you are light in the Lord. We're no longer in darkness. Amen? Is the world dark? Could your situation be dark? Absolutely. But you are in the light of the Lord. Amen? But now you are light. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Now, let me explain this, because this is a little confusing. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. How many of you know the exposure of darkness is not you and I talking about it? The exposure of darkness is you and I walking in the light. Are y'all getting that? Because he said, I don't even want you to talk about what you see. Look what it says. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. Say, I'm the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. So for this reason, it says, what? Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart, there's a glory and a light that God wants to shine on us in such a degree that it doesn't expose darkness for the sake of just humiliating people or condemning people, but to show them what light really is. Are y'all with me? And can I tell you, when I read that, it has to be something supernatural. It's not about me going out and exposing and harping on sin and railing against sin. It's about the light in me and in my countenance and in your countenance that causes others to realize this guy's walking in something that I'm not walking in. Are y'all with me? So to even talk about these things, sometimes, you know, you hear some ministries and that's all they focus on is sinners. And I'm like, oh, we're supposed to be out there winning sinners to the Lord. Are you with me? So the promise is that if you and I will wake up and get up, he will shine on us. Amen? So go to verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How many of you know, no, I don't care if we're talking about marriage, or we're talking about family, or we're talking about your workplace, or anything in life. How many know we need to understand what the will of the Lord is? Y'all are really quiet. We need to understand the will of the Lord. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But be what? Filled. And I've told you this over and over. In the Greek, it means continually filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to one another. Notice that. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And get this. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, that word there for fear would be in the reverence, in awe of his holy presence. Amen. You know, if we really steward his presence, we would treat all of us, we would treat each other differently. If we were constantly stewarding his presence. Amen? Hello? Now, the other night I was talking to couples, obviously, and I was sharing with them about the fact that, you know, it's funny how some men will treat their wives in a setting at church and how they'll treat their wives in another setting. And vice versa. The way we relate, or the way we relate to our children, the way to one another. Because you begin to read the verses that follow, immediately he begins to talk about how wives are subject to their husband or submitted to them. And then it talks about how a husband is to love and sacrifice his life for his wife, just like Christ did for the church. Yeah. And I always tell the men, I said, if you want a wife that is submissive to you, then be a man and love your wife like Christ loves her. Because some wives have nothing to submit to. Hello? And it's important we understand it. And then he starts to talk about family relationships, how we speak to our children, how our children are supposed to honor their father and mother, and how we're not supposed to, you know, rile up our kids to anger in the way we discipline. And it goes on and on and on. Then it talks about what we do for a living. Talks about our vocation, our life, and what we do in our lives. Even to the degree, get this, even to the degree, he said to some of you who are slaves, still do it as unto the Lord. As wicked as slavery is, the Lord's saying, if you're in the light, do everything you do as unto the Lord. Isn't that amazing? But it's all, I want you to see this. It's all about relationships. Not just marriage, not just family even, but even that you and I in the body of Christ will be submitted to one another in the fear of the Lord. Amen? That we'll walk in the light before each other in what all God's going to do. Now, I believe being filled with the Spirit is obviously part of it is the dimension of us singing and worshiping. Amen? Like the scripture said, is speaking to one another in our worship. But it's also how we submit to one another in reverence to God. And how we treat one another and how we bear one another's burdens and how we relate to one another. Let me show you an example. And just to go back to the whole marriage thing. Look in that same chapter, look at verse 31. Look what it says here. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become what? One flesh. Now this mystery, he says, is great. But I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. He's talking about, what's he saying? Our marriage is a vivid example of Jesus' relationship with his church. It's supposed to be. If our marriages are in the light, who is Jesus to the church? We're what? The bride? Y'all talk to me now? Come on. He's our husband. He's our bridegroom. Amen? And that relationship that is there, even in marriage, did you know, I believe God wants marriages and families and church and the way we relate to one another to be a vivid example of light to the world. It should be different. By the way, how many of you have heard for years, and I have said it because I always believed it. They've proven it wrong. But some of you may have seen it there's been a lot of it on Facebook lately. For years, people have said that the divorce rate in the church is as high as the world. Did you know that's not true? It's not true. Now, no condemnation if you've been through divorce. That's not what I'm talking about today. What I'm saying is But when a husband and a wife walk in submission to one another and to the Lord, like the scripture just said, that the rate is way low. It's like in the teens, especially if they're committed to a local fellowship and they're committed to their church and their body of Christ and to the body of Christ. And how many of y'all heard that for years? Well, it's no different. It's no different to church. But it's not. That's not true, because I used to scratch my head about that. Now, I've counseled a lot of people. I've gone through some pain with some of you over divorce and things. So please, this is not about condemnation. I'm just saying. But I tell you what, your chances of having a healthy and whole marriage are much better if you both believe and you're connected to the local body of Christ. Amen? And the percentages are way better. I think that was a ploy of the enemy to make us think, well, it doesn't really matter anything whether I am involved in my commitment to the body of Christ and the church and my commitment to faith in God, whether I'm going to be more faithful or not. But the statistics, the true statistics, really do show it is better. Amen? That excited me. Not that I want the world to keep having failed marriages, but I'm just saying to try to act like it's no different when you're in the kingdom. No. If you're in the light and the love of God, it's different. Hello. Hallelujah. Let's believe. What I want to talk to you today is let's believe to have a revival. I believe God, when he revives, he wants to transform. I like the word revival, but I also like the word transform. God wants to transform our families. Would you agree? He wants to transform our marriages. He wants to transform us as a church. He wants to transform our relationships with one another. Even our relationships with our own children. God wants to transform and revive those relationships, because you and I are to be walking in the light and the love of God, and we're to be in the land of the living of God. But here's the thing. In the kingdom of God, you can hear a message, you can get excited, you can say amen. Boy, that was good. How many of you know, upon all of us is the responsibility to walk by faith. You got to believe God and take him at his word. Are y'all with me? You can't just assimilate knowledge and follow the way, write some notes and say, well, that was really good. You've got to take hold of it. The Bible says clearly, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that you're not currently seeing. Amen? And without this kind of faith, it's impossible to please God. It's not enough just to say God is God. Amen? You could come and lay something on the altar in the presence of Almighty God. Are you with me? But you still got to walk by faith. Do you not? Do you not? When we leave the marriage ceremony, we got to walk by faith. In everything we do, we have to walk by faith. Hallelujah. And not by sight. And trust the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to please him. Now, if God, he promises in his word that he renews our inner man day by day. That's exciting. Amen. To know, in fact, the context there, Paul said, though the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. Now, that's exciting, is it not? Because we all, as we age, obviously see that, okay, this thing's not going to make it through eternity, right? Hello. Hello. But yet, inwardly, God's renewing me day by day. But can I take it a step further? Could we not also believe the same God that we serve can renew our marriages and our families and our relationships with our children and with the people we work with and the people we attend church with? Can we not believe for that? I believe we can. Hallelujah. Leon and I believe this. And I believe God wants that. I think God wants us, our life of love, to be a vivid example of Christ's love. And people should look at the church and look at a Christian home and look at a Christian in the workplace. They should see something different. Amen? But I'm not talking about in-your-face, confrontive-type ministry. I'm talking about light. Are y'all with me? Salt. And we need that. I love what it says in Revelation. I know I've given you this verse so many times because, again, I don't think God wants to just compartmentalize what he does in our lives and we just have these segments of time where we give to him, but it doesn't really change how we treat one another, how we walk. And I just don't believe that's what the Lord wants. And I love what it says in Revelation. Behold, I am making all things new. That's God's business. Aren't you glad? And ultimately, come on, guys, even our physical body will one day, this mortality will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption. Hallelujah. And if we pass away before the Lord comes, he's going to raise up our bodies and do it then as a sign of his increasing work. Amen. So God is faithful and he gives a grace and a glory to transform our lives. Now, I want to talk to you about the grace for a moment. How many of you would define grace to me as what? Unmerited favor. How many of you heard that? The word is charis in the Greek, and it's the word for like gift or favor that's placed upon us. And the grace of God is the power and the enabling of God that manifests in our weaknesses and inabilities. Does it make sense? Where we're not sufficient, the grace is sufficient. Y'all get that? I mean, we couldn't possibly get all the verses. There's a couple I'd like us to look at. Let me give you an example. How many of us can save ourselves? No way. Because we're saved by grace, not by works. Right? Hello? You can't save yourself. So what do you call that grace? Saving grace. Amen? But I mean, you know, there's more grace than that. There's more grace than that. And the scripture shows it. Look at John 1:16. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Notice that. Grace upon grace. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another, here we go, without complaint, as each one has received what? A special gift. That's the word grace. Here I say grace. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So the grace of God is manifold. It has many folds. Are you with me? It's diverse. It's like a tapestry. The graces of God, they're multifaceted. Hallelujah. I believe they fall, the grace of God falls in three categories. I believe there's the, now I'm saying outside of the initial grace to be saved. Okay. Everybody with me? First of all, there's the grace of God. That's the gift of God in your life to serve and to minister to others. Would you agree? Some you can notice on a certain man or woman of God that they are graced to do what they do, right? Hello? Yeah. Whatever it may be, they got a grace on their life to do that. Secondly, grace is also the power and strength to do what we can't do in our own strength. And that's where we see the impossibility begin to become possible, because what does it say clearly? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, through Christ who gives me his grace, I'm able to do some things that I couldn't do. When I was a youth pastor, I'd tell the kids, why don't you just lay your heart on the altar and tell God, I'll do whatever you want to do. The kids would tell me privately, I really want to do whatever you want to do, but I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to go to the Congo or something. You know, they were just being honest. Some of us have prayed that way. Lord, I'll do everything up to this point. But don't ask me to sacrifice my life and go move across the world and live in a hut somewhere. But you know what I told him? I said, if God calls you to something, he will give you the grace to go to Africa. In fact, I know of people from our church that are in Africa to this day. I'm just saying, it's about the grace he gives you to do what you do. Have you ever met somebody who has a ministry and you so appreciate it, but you're saying, I don't know if I could do what they do. Maybe it's ministering to the homeless or ministering on the streets or going into prisons or whatever it may be. You know, places that are you better have the grace of God on you to do it. Hello? And so that's that. The third area of grace is favor for your assignment. It's that favor of God that's on you for the assignment that he's given to you, that he's appointed to you to do. Again, when God calls you to something, how many of you heard this before? If you're dreaming and your dreams don't kind of scare you, you're probably not dreaming a God dream. If it's something you could pull off without God, then you don't need the grace of God. But if we're good stewards of the grace of God, then there has to be something there about our humility and yet our faith. Our humility says, oh God, I need you. And by faith, I take hold of a grace that he would offer to me so that I could do what he's called me to do. Amen? And as we steward this grace of God, speaking of marriage again, Jesus talked about marriage and how divorce was never supposed to be a part of it. And the disciples went, well, nobody should get married. And he said, well, those of you that can't handle it, basically. I'm paraphrasing. And then later, and it was always a little confusing to me, but later Paul wrote about the fact that he, as a celibate minister, said, I wish all of you were like me, because you wouldn't have some of the distractions of married life that I do, that you do, and you could be like me. But I know this, I have a grace for it. And if you don't have the grace for it, then you do have a grace to be married. There's a grace to be married. Hello? Don't look at your wife or your spouse right now. Just, you know, there's a grace to be married. Hello. But there's also a grace to be celibate if God was to place that upon you. Amen? Does it make sense, guys? So, again, I'm trying not to go back into my marriage seminar message too much. But Peter wrote this. He said, may grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. I like that. Anybody want that? Grace and peace in the fullest. That's where I believe peace is connected to when you know God's graced you for that moment. Hello? And with that, there's a great peace. I think peace always comes with favor because you got to have peace because you're still having to step out and trust that God is sufficient and that God will show his strength in your weakness. Amen. Paul even said, I came to some of you in fear and trembling, but the grace of God. But by the grace of God, he was able to minister to the Gentiles. Remember that? Almost every letter that Paul wrote, he said, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Go back and look at them. He would open up and greet the brethren in Ephesus or wherever. And he would say, grace and peace be multiplied to you in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many want a multiplication of grace? How many want more peace? Okay? Well, then grace comes with that peace. Here's the thing. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The proud would say, I don't need any more grace. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm just going to work hard. But grace empowers you to something that you can't do in your own. And I believe with all of my heart, that's what will move a congregation forward. It'll move a life and a ministry forward into the things that God has for us. So I would encourage you today, let's humble ourselves in any area where we would consider ourselves weak and acknowledge, Lord, apart from you, I can't do this. And I believe when you do that, grace comes. And you could take hold of that grace by faith. And you could get to the point where it actually, you flip it around and you go, let the weak say. Notice he didn't say they weren't weak. You with me? Let the weak say what? I am strong in the strength of the Lord. In other words, I am strong because of God's grace upon my life. I hope that blessed you. That blessed me. Ask for it. Oh, Lord, I need your grace to be upon me to do what I do. I remember when I first started working with youth, I cried out for the grace of God to be on me. I wanted to so badly go into the ministry, and my brother said, we're convinced you're the one to do it. And I'm like, I just kind of wanted to be your associate and preach every once in a while. Working with teenagers? But you know what? God put a grace on Susan and I, and we did it for over almost 9 years. You know, full-time missions, everything. And I'm telling you, God gives you the grace to do what he's called. Isn't that what Jabez did? Remember, we talked about him before I went out of town? Remember Jabez, the man of pain? The man whose mom named him a pain, that guy, remember what he said? He was more honorable. What did he cry out to God? Do you remember? Oh, Lord, bless me indeed. May your hand be upon me. Expand my territory, my reach, and don't let me be a pain. I love it, don't you? And God granted what he asked. He was willing to say, you know what? Okay, I'm behind the eight ball here, and I'm getting off to a rough start with a bad name, but I believe the grace of God's going to be on my life. Hallelujah. I don't care how bad your situation is. God makes beauty out of ashes. Hallelujah. In fact, he loves to do it even all the more, I believe. He was honorable because I believe he sought the grace of God. Whenever you see a scripture that says the hand of the Lord was upon him, that's the grace of God. It was on that man or woman to do what God had called him to do. Amen. So let's be good stewards of the grace of God. And I just want to encourage you. I don't think there's an area of weakness in any of our lives in ministry or this church that God doesn't have a grace to strengthen us in that place so that we can do more for God. And we will not be limited by our own weakness. Hallelujah. We got enough of that. But let's be strengthened by the strength of God. Here's the beauty of it. God gets all the glory. Now let me talk to you for a moment about the glory. There's a glory that we also need to steward. It's the glory of God. The glory of God. You can't experience revival and renewal without the glory of God. And I'm telling you, I don't believe we can live for God's purposes if we are not good stewards of the glory of God in our lives. And let me explain it to you in a moment. What is glory? I mean, the word in the Hebrew is it's the weightiness of God. It's that weightiness of God's presence. And most scholars have believed in studying out the word for glory. Now, there's glory as in giving glory, like giving honor and credit and praise, right? But glory itself is a significant thing. It's like a substance, so to speak, of another realm, of the kingdom realm. And when the glory is there, how many of you believe God's omnipresent? Hello? You believe he's omnipresent? No matter where you are, right? David even said, at the gates of Sheol, he is there. I can't escape him. But how many of you know when glory comes, that presence has been made manifest? Y'all with me? In other words, it's tangible. How many of you know sometimes in worship and praise and in a meeting or something, or somebody's praying for you, you could say, man, that was glorious. Why? Because, 5 minutes ago, I knew God was there, But boy, I really know he's here now because it's impacting me in a powerful way. How many want more glory? Hello? Glory is supernatural because it's of the kingdom heavenly realm. It's a spiritual touch from God. And that's why in the glory, your spirit starts to see and hear and experience things in the glory that you can't do in the natural because it's not of the natural realm. Are y'all with me? You were created and born. You were primarily a spiritual being. Hello? Hello? You are spirit, soul, and body, but you're primarily a spiritual being. That's the part of you that was born again, created in Christ Jesus. And glory brings great change to that realm of the spirit and the soul because it's a very spiritual thing. And it's why our spirits, can I tell you, when glory comes, let me explain something. Because sometimes people get upset about this. I don't really know why. I mean, I was always curious about it because I never really understood why certain people would have certain physical reactions to the presence of God. Y'all with me? I mean, I've seen it all. I mean, I've been in what they call charismania since the late 70s. I've seen it all. But let me say something to you today. The more I'm convinced of this, a lot of it is not people showing out or faking it. There may be some of that. What do they say? If you want to have fire, you might have to deal with some wildfire every once in a while. But can I tell you something? When the glory comes, our bodies are natural. Hello? And when glory comes on it, something supernatural. How many know you can sometimes feel it? How many of you ever felt heat when somebody laid their hands on you? How many of you ever started to shake in the presence of God? Literally quit. How many begin to cry? How many of you fell out when somebody prayed for you? You were slain in the spirit, right? Are y'all with me? Your physical body is being encountered by something otherworldly. Now your spirit man is being awakened and enlightened. And he's like, yeah, right? This is cool. I could lay here. I told our youth group years ago, I said, look, because they were asking, we were having a lot of people falling out in the spirit. And the kids asked me, said, Pastor Rick, what is that to that? And I said, you know what? I believe it's real. I don't know that everybody that falls doesn't necessarily, sometimes people give a courtesy drop, you know. Make the guy feel better, you know. But I tell you what, I told the kids, I'm not kidding. I said, but this guy ain't going down unless God does it. Yeah. Well, we went to this youth meeting. We all gathered together. Our youth are there with me. I mean, I hadn't said this 3 weeks before. And this prophetic psalmist named Tim Woodson called me forward and began to sing a full song over me, prophetically. Verses, chorus, bridge. All prophetic. And then he begins to say things to me. And I mean, about that time, the glory of God hit me. And I didn't fall back because nobody was around me. Because they were all like, well, Rick won't go down. Look at him. He ain't going down. He's locked in. And I crumbled like a bag of bones. And I just fell to the floor. And God began to minister to my heart. And I actually heard what he continued to sing over me. And when I kind of came out of the spirit, so to speak, out of that realm, and kind of gathered my thoughts, I looked up and all the youth were looking down at me laughing. They had circled me with my wife looking at me. Well, I guess you will go down sometimes, you know. Anyway. Rabbit trail number one. But aren't you glad I shared that with you? Hallelujah. Rabbit trails are good sometimes. Christ in you and in me, the hope of glory. Amen? Amen? Ephesians says that you would know the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. It's in us. I mean, I believe in, you know, calling for the glory and all that. That's fine. But actually, it's in us. In how we relate to one another and how we walk together is what's going to release more glory than just us crying, oh, God, send your glory. And there's nothing wrong with praying those prayers, but there's something in Christ as a new creation that's different. It's the ability to behold it. I believe glory brings freedom, and I believe glory brings transformation. And I believe moments in the glory of God can change you. How many of you can attest to that? Like, man, you just got out of that moment and like, man, I'm different. I've had that happen to me. I just walked out and I went, I'm different. It's even more fun when your spouse tells you, you're different. That's a good thing, right? Not different as in weird, but go to 2 Corinthians 3. You know this verse, but let's look at it again. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, what happens? Now he had been talking about, y'all remember when Moses saw the glory? He had to wear a veil. Why? Because in the Old Testament type of relationship and covenant, the glory couldn't remain on Moses. So he wore a veil over his face. So they use this as a prophetic type to us to understand something. When you turn to Jesus, the veil is removed. Hallelujah. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. Amen. But we all, with unveiled face, in other words, get this, we all turning to the Lord, right? How do you get an unveiled face? You turn to the Lord. We all with unveiled face doing what? Say that word. Beholding. Say it again. Beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being what? Transformed into the pastor's image. No. Into the worship leader's image. We're all going to look like Daniel. No. we're gonna be transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. You know, the Amplified is so powerful. It says, from one degree of glory to another. How many love glory encounters, but how many know God wants them to increase in your life in even greater dimensions? Glory to glory implies that there are many more encounters to come. Romans tells us to not be conformed to this world, but to be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. Now that sounds contradictory to what we just read. But I believe with all of my heart. Here's the thing the Lord spoke to me. And I hope this will help you. Because it does say glory transforms us, right? But yet that verse we know so well says renewing our mind transforms us. And to me, it's not a matter of either or. And here's what I mean. If the mind is not renewed, how can I say this? If the mind is not renewed, the glory that we encounter won't stick. Right? And actually, I told the people that came forward for prayer at the marriage thing, I said, look, as long as you have a lousy mindset about your wife or your husband and you come forward, the glory you're going to encounter tonight, it won't stick to you and won't change you. Because you don't, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. The disrespect for marriage, the disrespect for the covenant, the disrespect for the vow, whatever, the disrespect for the person. It requires you to have a renewed mind. I mean, a lot of times God does encounter us and he does bless us, but we don't have the mindset to retain it. Does it make sense? And we ourselves are needing a veil to cover the fact that the glory is no longer there. Hello? What happened in the garden? Adam and Eve had the glory of God on them. But when they lost sight of who they were, and then they suddenly realized they were naked and all these things, and they're actually hiding from God, what does the Bible say? The glory departed from them. And I'm telling you guys, I believe we're entering into a season where the glory is to stay upon us. Amen? In all that we do. And I believe the glory in God will enrich our relationships with the Lord unlike anything else. And I want to take you to one more verse, I think, for the day, and then I'm going to pray with you. I've got some more to this message I want to develop and share with you, but I think for the sake of time, and so many people are out today too, I want to kind of be able to keep us all on the same page with this. But Jesus, how many of you ever read John 17? Do y'all know what, you know what chapter that is? This is Jesus praying for us. He was praying for his disciples, but he was also praying for any of us who would believe in them through their word. So in other words, all believers, he was praying for them. But he was praying to his Father on behalf of the body of Christ, on behalf of the saints of God, the church of God. So Jesus is praying this powerful prayer. I would encourage you sometime to just read it, because when you hear Jesus' heart for us, it'll bring you to tears. Because you start to realize there's so much more that the Lord is believing for than we're even believing for. Amen? And I'm not talking about just a marriage or just your family or just your relationships. But I'm talking about for the church. What the Lord is believing for. He set the bar really high. Now, how many of you believe this before we read this? How many of you believe with me that the Lord gets what he prays for? Hello? I believe Jesus will see this fulfilled. I believe the early church had it to some dimension, but I even believe that the last church will be more glorious, as the scripture says. And it can be overwhelming, because you could think, well, man, I got to find a glorious church. No. Start to behold the glory. Become the glorious church. Hallelujah. Because, guys, it's going to be something supernatural. Because the church will be multicultural. The church will be transgenerational. Amen. Yeah. And it's going to require glory for us to be one. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. It won't happen any other way. And that's why we're seeing more and more. You don't see the churches now that are only identified by one tribe and tongue or one age group anymore like you used to. More and more we're seeing that. And I believe it's just a part of what God's doing. And we need the glory. Everybody agree with me? Now I want you to just look at a few verses of this prayer with me. And then we'll pray into this together, okay? Go with me to John 17. Pick up with verse 20. Now remember, this is Jesus speaking to the Father on our behalf. Okay, everybody got that? Okay, let's go. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be, say it, one. Now, how many of you know there's a lot of definitions for one? You have the numeric definition and you have unity and all that. But can I tell you, Jesus describes it powerfully what he meant by that in the next words. Look what it says. Even as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they, the believers, also may be in us. Everybody say us. So that the world may believe that you sent me. How many of you are ready for such a glory to be on the church in such a unity with the Father and the Son and us with one another that the world's got to say that's something God's doing? Anybody ready for that? Amen? Look at verse 22. The glory which you've given me. Now please get this. The glory which you've given me, Father. Read it out loud with me. I have given to them. Say, I have it. He's given us the glory. He's not holding back, saying, oh, no, you didn't give enough last week. You didn't dance enough today. You know, you didn't pray yesterday at all. No glory for you. Hello? Hello? I have given to them, and for what purpose? Read it out loud with me. That they may be one. Everybody say, as one. Just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in, say it, unity. Say it, unity. Unity is very, very powerful because we think unity is we all agree on the same doctrine. Doctrine is important. But how many of you know you can be in unity and not agree on every little jot and tittle, right? Come on. If we all sat down and talked about what we believe, we'd probably have some disagreements. But we can still be in perfected unity. Are y'all with me? Hello? Again, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Stop for just a moment on that, please. The Father loves those who believe in the Son as much as he loves the Son. And that's heart. I mean, does that not warm your heart? Hallelujah. He's a good, good Father. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may what? Say it. See my glory, which you've given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Is that not powerful? Hello? Amen. I promised you I was getting ready to close. Is that not powerful? Here's the thing. This is not up for debate. Yeah. He's given us his glory. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know that we even fully understand what that means, you know, to the degree that he wants to impact us with his glory. I don't believe he gives his glory for entertainment purposes, right? Hello? So we can just dance around a movement. But I do believe he gives his glory because I believe it's going to affect not only how we worship together, singing, and that's part of it, but it's also how we submit to one another and how we walk together as the body of Christ and as a family. And God wants this church and your marriage and your family and your children and you and your household to be a vivid example of the light and glory of God. Amen? He wants that for the world because he wants the world to be able to say, now I can kind of understand that they're the bride and he's the bridegroom. But it'll become, they'll know that his words are true. Are you with me? Are you with me? I'm not trying to be spooky about it, but it's just that there's a dimension there that we need. I love glory encounters with God. I love, I think the more frequent, the better. Hallelujah. We need to believe for that. Because what does it say? Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I want to share one last verse with you. I promise this is it. I think. And I'll just do more of my message next week. Go to Acts 3:19. You know this verse pretty well. Peter here is preaching his message after he raises up the man at the gate. Beautiful. Y'all remember the story? Y'all remember the story? The man's been laying there since his mother's womb. What did he do every day? Begged alms of the people. In other words, buddy, give me some change. Do you have any change? He'd be the guy with the cardboard sign, right? And he actually depended upon the generosity of those going into the temple, and that's how he survived. This man has never walked, right? Peter walks up to him and says, what does he say? He said, look at us. The man set his gaze upon them expecting something, but he wasn't expecting what he's getting ready to get. And he's probably thinking Peter's getting ready to throw him some change or maybe hand him some bills, you know? I don't think they had bills back then. They had coins. That's why he said silver and gold. But he said, silver and gold have I none. But what I have, how many know what we have is more important than a dollar bill? But what I have, I give. Notice that. What I have, the glory I have, y'all get this. The glory that I have, I give to you. He didn't say glory, but it was something he had. Who was in Peter? Christ. Christ was living through Peter. He wasn't the same guy after Pentecost, right? When the glory of Pentecost came, Peter wasn't the same guy anymore. He wasn't the denying Christ before the servant girl guy, you know? And but what I have, I give to you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I love this. He reached down and grabbed the man by the hand and pulled him up. He didn't give the guy, come to the altar right now while someone plays on the organ. And we're going to, pray for you. No, he reached down and grabbed him by the hand and raised him up. How many would like to have more boldness like that? That you so believe in what God has given to you. I really think we need to step out more in those kind of things, especially with the unbeliever. And just begin to believe. Now, don't you guys go down to Chandler Regional or Banner Desert and start yanking people out of beds, okay? Not right now, but... He said, what I have I give to you. I promise I'm going to wrap this up. Are y'all ready? I'm circling the airport, getting ready to hit the runway. And he said, we're fogged in. I got to circle some more now. And he said, and of course he raised the guy up and the guy was healed. And it was a triple miracle. You know why? He went walking. Number one, he was healed. Number two, he was able to walk and then leap and go praising God. A man who never walked. So he had to, not only did he get strength to walk, he learned how to walk and leap and praise God all in a matter of moments and went into the temple praising God. And we know the story. Well, every time these miracles happen, Peter and all the disciples, they never missed an opportunity, obviously, to preach the gospel because everybody knew this guy, right? Everybody knew this guy. So there's thousands gathered again, just like Pentecost. There's thousands gathered, and Peter preaches a message, and he declares the freedom of Christ, the forgiveness of our sins in Christ Jesus. It's beautiful. But then he closes with this word, repent and return. Everybody say repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away. Now, how many of you know when we repent, he forgives us, and he cleanses us. Aren't you glad? He cleanses us. But look what it says, in order that. It's very important. And you could put it this way, for this reason. Okay? Everybody with me? That times of refreshing may come from what? The presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing may come. And what I love about that word times is it's plural. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're to be a people that encounter the outpourings of God, the refreshings of God, the reviving of God. Amen? The Greek actually means to catch the wind of what God is doing. Anybody want to be able to catch the wind of the Spirit? And I'm telling you, as you and I get into that place, when we come before God, I don't know. How many know sometimes when you repent and you confess your sins and you know he forgave you, and a lot of times we kind of sit around and cry about it even a little bit longer. And the Lord told me one time, he said, do you really believe I forgave you? And I realized I didn't. I was still groveling and I was still kind of weeping and all of that. And the Lord said, you don't really understand my love for you and my ability to forgive you. And it really challenged me because then I began to read it and the Holy Spirit told me, and I went back to that verse that I knew well. That was Acts is one of the things I taught at the Bible college. So, I taught that verse all the time. And how many know you could teach something and not have a revelation of yourself? Not really. Not an application, And the Lord has told me, he said, what do I promise after I forgive you and wipe your sins away? Well, you promised me that if I'll be a good boy, you'll love me, right? Right? I walk the straight and narrow and I never get, you know. Obedience is important, but that's not the point. The point was times of refreshing. And I'm convinced that God's saying anytime. And see, here's the thing. Repentance is not just, I'll leave you with this thought. Repentance is not just confessing some kind of sin that you committed, like some kind of moral sin or whatever, or you lied or you got angry or you blew your witness or whatever. We've all been there. It's not just that. But sometimes, how many know we need to repent of the wrong mindset? The way we look at one another, the way we look at the church, the way we look at our spouse in marriage, the way we look at our marriage, the way we look at our kids. I don't know. There's so many ways that we can repent. And again, it's not just because we've had some moral failure. Though certainly it applies to that too. But a lot of times we tend to think of repentance in that way. Like, I'm a backslider, I'm a prodigal, and I'm coming home. And again, that works for them too. But how about the church? We need to live a life of repentance where we're saying, Lord, change the way I think. Because that's what the word means. That I think differently, that I perceive things differently according to my repentance and bear fruit. Like he said, like John the Baptist said to the Pharisees, show me some fruit. Don't just come here and get baptized and walk away in an emotional moment, but show me some fruit in keeping with your repentance. And I'm telling you, to me, the key to being able to keep with repentance is the glory. Hallelujah. It's the glory of God. And so we make a decision to say, Lord, I want to give everything to you. I believe God wants to release a refreshing of his glory on us. Amen. That will change us. Because I don't know about you, but I want my mind renewal and my deliberate changes as a disciple to stick. Are you with me? I want the glory. I want to be sticky for the glory of God. But, you know, the wrong mindset, it can kind of roll off of you. And we miss out so much on what God wants to do. Would you lift your hands to heaven right now? Father, we just come before you today. And I pray, Father, and I pray for our dear friends that will be watching this, even maybe in their sick beds right now. But, Lord, I pray that we as a people, Lord, would understand that you've called us to steward the grace and the glory of God. You called us, Lord, to steward these things in order that in our lives, Lord God, we can be a people who do everything we do for your glory. Even in our physical bodies, Lord, we would serve you. We would work for you. We would love for you. We would witness for you in everything in every part of our lives, especially in our homes and in our families and in our relationships in this church. Lord, I pray that we would truly be a people who live in the land of the living and that we would walk in the light and love of Jesus Christ. And that, Lord God, your truth of grace upon grace and glory to glory. I'm going to say that again. Grace upon grace and more grace. And glory to one degree of glory to even another degree of glory. That it would be upon us and that we would steward it every place along the way. Pray with me today. Jesus, I change my mind. I am yours. I am redeemed for your purposes and for your glory. In that everything that I do, I would understand what the will of the Lord is. To walk in the light. To love with your love. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. And to submit to all people in the fear of Christ. Help me, Lord, to change my mind, to repent, to have the mind of Christ by the Spirit of God and the truth of the Word of God. I receive it today. Give me grace. Keep praying with me. Give me grace in every area that I am weak. I acknowledge that to you. And I believe your grace is sufficient for me. Let your strength be made perfect in my weakness. But Lord, also, like Moses cried, show us your glory. Show us your glory, Lord, that we may behold what you have given to us freely according to grace and mercy. We thank you for it today. Now, Father, I pray for this church family and all of our friends, and I pray, Lord, today that you would deposit in us a great hunger and a great thirst to go deeper for revival, for change, and for transformation. I come against a spirit of disappointment and frustration and hopelessness, and I break and bind that power that does not come from God. I come against fear and anxiety and condemnation, and I break the power of the liar over your lives today in the name of Jesus. And I loose over you today the spirit of truth of the Holy Spirit of God, that you will walk in the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I bless you today. Say this with me as we close. For I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus lives in me. In the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and has given himself up for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, today we thank you for repentance. And we thank you also for refreshing. I pray for each one today, Lord, that times of refreshing, that you guys would encounter it throughout the week. Amen. Every time you pull alone with God in the secret place, whether you come to a prayer meeting or whatever you do, I bless you today with the refreshings of God to be upon your life as we move forward in what God's called us to do. Be blessed today. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon your face and be gracious unto you, and grant you shalom in the mighty and matchless name of our Lord Jesus. If you receive that, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, God bless you. I coughed a couple of times, but for the most part, I avoided that. Hallelujah. God's good.